It's amazing that he'll listen to us. But he will. He wants us to talk to him. Amen. It's always a joy to be here. Thought about the Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving service and all that, but that's not the message I've got. Thank you, brother. Glad to have each one with us. I'd like if you'd turn to John chapter 3. We're going to try to bring you a message this morning on sad sayings for sinners. If you're saved, well then, these is not for you. But I'm sure that everybody here has got some friends and maybe even some family that's lost and on their way to hell. And we'd like to see them saved, wouldn't we? So, you need to hear something like this sometime, just to kind of wake you up. And there may be somebody here that's headed towards hell. Might be somebody here that's not saved. So I pray that you'll listen this morning, and there's going to be some things that the Lord's going to speak to some sinners one of these days that they're really going to regret hearing. Going to be some sad times. Amen, amen. All right, in John chapter 3, go to the last verse. John chapter 3 and verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Dear Heavenly Father, help us this morning, Lord. Give us what needs to be said. Pray, Lord, that your word will touch hearts. You know the hearts of each one here. Lord, if it's one here that's not saved or is not sure of their salvation, I pray, Lord, you'll deal with them today and they'll trust you before it's eternally too late. We'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, about everybody knows John 3:16, and it's a great verse, tremendous verse. But if you'll notice, in John 3:16, why it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," notice, "that he gave his only begotten Son." That's past tense. That was sometime back yonder when he done that. He gave his Son that we might be saved. Thank God for that. I'm so glad of that. I'm glad that happened, praise the Lord. Give us a chance to get in. But that's past tense. But notice verse 36 that I just read to you. It says the last part of it, "But the wrath of God abideth on him." That's present tense. Anytime you read it, it's present tense. It's present tense 100 years ago. It's present tense now. The wrath of God abideth now on the sinner. It's not that he's going to be lost. He's already lost. He's already headed to hell. It's not that one of these days out yonder somewhere in the future, he's going to get lost. If he's a sinner and not saved, he's already lost. Now, I realize that we tell folks, you know, when we're witness to them, we say, "God loves you." And that's okay to say that, but the fact is that God did love you. It's not necessarily that he loves you now if you're lost. The wrath of God is abiding on you if you're lost. You're headed to hell. It's that simple. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't save you, because he will save you. If you call upon him, he'll save you. Amen for that. But the wrath of God is already upon the sinner now. And if the sinner dies now, the wrath of God is already on him and he's going to go into hell. It's that simple. And so the word is very plain on this. It says, he that believeth not, amen, he that believeth not the Son of God, he's condemned already. The wrath of God abideth on him now. So, starting this thing out, the sinner is already lost. Amen. There's all kinds of them out there that's lost, and the wrath of God is upon them. And that's a sad saying, that's a sad thing, but that's the way that it is. Now then, look right over here at John chapter 5. We're going to be in John and Matthew, and just hit a few verses here. John chapter 5. And let's notice, we'll start at verse number 39, John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's the scriptures that testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Now notice what he says. He says, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Now he didn't say you could not come to me, because you can come to him. Amen. He said, you will not. Now, it's not that folks don't know where to go. It's not that they can't get there. It's not that they can't believe. It's that they will not believe. It's the will. You see, the Lord gave us a free will. That's the reason that Adam and Eve failed to start with. Because when he made them of a free will. The Lord Jesus Christ wants folks to love him because they want to love him. He wants folks to serve him because they want to serve him. Amen. You don't want somebody, you don't have to make somebody love you. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's able to do anything he wants to, and he could have made us to where we'd have had to serve him. He's got angels doing that. He made us to where we could make a choice. We could choose to serve him, we could choose to get saved, or we can refuse it. And so there's all kind of folks that just will not come to the Lord. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Now that's a sad saying. A sad saying for sinners. And there's all kinds of them run out there. They just will not receive the Lord. And I've witnessed to several of them that way. And they have all kinds of excuses which don't amount to nothing. And they won't help a thing. And they say, well, preacher, sometime later. Well, that's the biggest thing that the devil has working for him, is delay. He knows that most people is not stupid enough to say, well, I'm just going to go on to hell. He'll say, he'll deal with the person, and the person say, well, and the devil will tell him, say, it's okay for you to get saved some of these days, but not right now. I mean, you're young, you've got a whole lot to do yet, you know, just wait a while and wait a while. I've had a whole lot of young folks' funerals. You don't have to be old to die. Amen. Babies dies. Amen. And what you got to do is trust the Lord as your Savior. But all kind of folks will not trust him. They will not come to him. They got their own idea of things. They'll think this or they'll think that, you know. Don't make any difference what you think. Jesus has laid the plan out. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the only way. And there's no other way of getting to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, go ahead and search the scriptures. Says, they're the one that teaches of me. And then all kind of folks that won't do that and won't believe the scriptures. They come up with all kind of stuff that they believe. And then he says, you will not come to me that you might have life. Now think about that, how serious that is. We enjoy living knowing. Well, maybe everybody don't, but I always did. And, I enjoy living. Now, not every day. Some days it's kind of bad, but, I figure, the next day is going to be better. Amen. And just enjoy every day that you have. So we enjoy life. So why would anybody want to live eternally happy instead of eternally suffering? Amen. I'm not real smart, and I can figure that. Amen. I will live eternally happy, don't you? You might have life. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about just a life down here. The one he's talking to is already alive. He's talking about a life hereafter. So this life here, this life will end as far as we know life here, but our life don't end. Our life just goes on and on and on. And it don't make any difference whether you're lost or saved. Your life is still going on and on and on. You never cease to exist in your soul once that you become a soul. You're always going to be a soul. You're always going to be a living soul. Now this physical and this life here, this body will die. God gave it up way back out there. But the person that you are inside is going to live on. And it's going to live on somewhere. And I've talked to people that I just don't believe that. Unbelief doesn't change a fact. A fact is a fact. It don't make any difference whether you believe it or not. It's still true. Amen. And so they're going to live on somewhere. And there's all kinds of them right now that's regretting it, that they didn't trust the Lord as their Savior. And why was that? Just because they would not come to him. Amen. Like I told you before, they're already lost, but still they can come to him. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. What does that mean? That means you can come if you will. Amen. All you got to do, just come on to the Lord. It's not that hard. Amen. I got saved when I was 11 years old. Now, I didn't hardly know anything. But I knew one thing. I knew I needed to get saved. And I come to the Lord and he saved me. Amen. All right, while we're right here in Matthew, in John, turn back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. All right, let's start here at, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. We've done been discussing that. Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. Now here's the reason that they don't come to the Lord. Because they love darkness more than they love light. He said, you will not come to me that you can be saved. And here's the reason that they won't come to him. Because they love their sin. Amen. That's the reason that man or woman or boy or girl will not come to the Lord. They love the darkness. They love the sin. Now, they might not just come out and tell you that I just love to sin. But they do because they keep doing it. That's what it's talking about here. They love the darkness. And the darkness, of course, is sin. The darkness is what's wrong. And the light is what's right. Amen. And he said that's the condemnation that man has, is because that he loves the darkness. Most children, you know, they really don't like the dark. Most of them, you know, they'd rather have a light on, even a night light. They don't just like the dark. But as they get older, and they get on up, especially in the teenage years, something happens. And what do you think that is? It's sin. And sin enters their life, and they get to liking dark things. And you notice the stuff that they have on these kids are playing, and you go to these places where they have all them flashing lights and all that stuff. You go in them joints, and them joints is always dark. Amen. And they love that darkness. And the evil deeds is done in the dark. Amen. Somebody out robbing something, you know, they pick the night time. They'll pick when it's dark, break in on somebody or to steal something, you know, where somebody can't see them. It's not the light. They don't do a whole lot right in the daytime, the light time. It's in the darkness. So they love the darkness. There's something about that darkness that they like. Well, the devil's the darkness. And Jesus is the light, you see. And so to love light, you love the Lord. To love darkness, you love the devil. And, you know, and folks won't tell you that, oh, I just love the devil, I just love the devil. But they act like the devil. And they live like the devil. And they show forth devilment in their lives and things that they do. And I realize that all of us has done some of that. Amen. I understand that we're not, none of us perfect. And we've all come through some things in our life to where if we had the opportunity and we could go back there, well, we'd take another route. And we'd do things some different ways. And I guarantee you, and we're all the same, and I'm just like you. I do the same thing myself. But since you get older and wiser, thank God you do get a little bit wiser when you get older. And you get older and wiser, see, you learn how stupid you was. Boy, I done some of the dumbest stuff. I wonder how the Lord even let me get through that stuff. But he's just merciful to us. And it wasn't that we loved the darkness so much. It's just our stupidity. You say, that's a bad word to use. It's our stupidity. I'll make sure that you get it. And that's what we all was. And if you'll admit it, you know you was. And that's like young folks today. And I'm not hard on young folks. I mean, I love our young folks here. And I appreciate them. But they got a long ways to go and a lot to learn. And I hope they make it. And there's a lot of them don't make it. Hey, man, they get off on something, you know. They get off on a bunch of dope or get to drinking. Back in my day, you know, and we was coming up through the 50s and the 60s, you know, it was drink then. It was moonshine. That's all it was around here. There wasn't no dope that I knew of. I never even seen none or heard about none then. But I had all kind of buddies that got off on that drinking so much. And a bunch of them got killed. I preached some of them's funeral and somebody shot them and killed them. Amen? And it don't make any difference what kind of devil much you get on, he'll get you. Amen? And it's sad when you have to get up over somebody that you went to school with and worked with and everything else and you witnessed to them and tried to tell them about the Lord and you talked to them and then somebody killed them. And as far as you knew, they went to hell. And you got to get up and preach their funeral. That just ain't no joy. They ain't no joy in that, folks. You take a friend that you really liked, but you just couldn't reach them. And I had some of them, and they just would not come to the Lord. I mean, you talk to them, you talk to them, and you tell them, and you ask them, and you plead with them, and you beg them and everything else, and it just never did sink in. And, you know, never did reach them. And you may not have never had none of that to happen to you, but I have. And it's hard on you. Now, I realize it's harder on them because they're the one going to hell. Probably. I don't never say nobody went to hell for sure because I don't know that. But as far as I know, they didn't get saved. I just put it that way. And I don't even say that at the funeral. I just preach to the ones that's out there. And I had this one friend of mine that we're good friends, and we worked together, carpentered together and everything. He got shot. Somebody killed him. And when I preached his funeral, it was like, it's like being in a bar room. There's so many of them sitting out there. I mean, just sitting out there everywhere. And it's a good opportunity to preach. And I just preached to them. I had a friend up north when I was up there. He's a biker, and he got killed. And his parents I knew, and they're Christians, and. They wanted me to preach his funeral, and I did. And they come in there. I mean, all them bikers rode in there, and women, not just men, but women, had on them slick leathers all over. I mean, they had bikers sitting everywhere. And all them's not rough people, but this crowd was. And just preach to them. But when you got that kind of opportunity, you take it and you preach to them. And you wait and see what's going to happen. And sometimes you kind of watch yourself as you're trying to get out of the building. When you get done, you know, hope you get out of there alive. But when you got to stand for the Lord and you're supposed to stand there and do what you're supposed to do, well, then you just do it. Amen? And let the rest of it fall wherever it falls. But so many of them folks just will not come to the Lord. And it tells us right here that they're condemned already. And they're walking around condemned. And they don't know they're fixing to die. But they know they're going to die. Everybody here, except these maybe little bitty ones, and they all probably know it too, you're going to die. Now, that ain't something that we like to just get together and sit around and talk about. Let's talk about this and wonder who's going to die next. You know, I mean, you don't do stuff like that, but everybody here knows what death is. Now, we may not understand it altogether because we've not been there, but still, it's real to us. We've had loved ones and friends and family and whatever, you know, that's died. And a lot of them was condemned already. And they just would not accept the Lord as their Savior. And it's going to be some sad sayings that the Lord is going to speak to them, and he's plainly telling them here how sad that it is, these things that he's going to tell them. Of course, he's telling them right here, this one thing right here on this one, that the reason they didn't get saved because they loved darkness rather than light. Now turn with me back to Matthew, if you will, Matthew 23. We'll hit two or three of them over here in the book of Matthew. Last part of chapter 23. And this is the Lord speaking to the Jew. We'll start here, verse number 37, Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Now notice what he's talking about here. He's talking about the compassion that he has upon them, and they just reject it. They reject the Lord's compassion. And he said, and he's liking this to something that they could understand. He likened it to a hen with chickens. Now, it ain't something a lot of people maybe knows now, like they did some years ago, you know, people raised chickens. Especially when they raised them then, you just raised them out in the yard, you know, and the chickens just run free and raise their little chickens out just running around free. And that's why one reason I like that song, it has the sayings about under his wings, and I think about that, and he's referring here as a chicken with wings to where the little ones, when they see danger coming, well, they can run and get under old mammy there. And you see, a chicken can't even talk, and a chicken can't understand nothing that you say to them, but when that old mama clucks a certain way, they understand it. They know exactly what she's saying, and they head for cover. Amen. And there's three or four times that that'll happen. And we used to raise a bunch of chickens when was growing up, and we had these games, game chicken, and if you know what that is, they're kind of mean. They like to fight, and but they're rough little chickens in games is. And I remember there's one old hen we had, and of course you had hawks, a lot of hawks flying around then, you know. And if she seen a hawk, you know, flying around, she'd holler, and all them little chickens would run and get under her wing, you know. Well, they didn't know what she was talking about, but they knew it was time to head for cover. And if they didn't, they was fixing to get eat. They didn't know they was fixing to get eat, but they knew something was wrong somewhere. And it's just it's not an instinct or nothing. It's what the Lord gives them. You know, they try to study all that stuff, why all this happened. Why it happens is because the Lord gave them the understanding that when mama hollers, buddy, it's time to get for cover. And they head under them wing, under that wing. And if they don't, that old hawk will get them. And I've seen the hawk scoop down and pick up them little chickens and take off. And he's gone. He's fixing to get eat. And they know to run under them wings. People is dumber than little chickens. Now, man, I mean, think about that, you say. I mean, them little chickens has got sense enough to know, hey, there's danger out here. Man, it's time for me to get somewhere where somebody can protect me. And the Lord says here, speaking to the Jew there at Jerusalem, he said, how often would I have spread my wings and covered you? All you had to do is run under my wings. And he said, you would not. See, this whole thing falls back to the will again. I'm glad he gave us a free will. I'm glad we have the free will. But the free will is what destroys man, because he's so stubborn and he has that will that he will not give in. Amen. Well, I'm going to have my way. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of them are going to have their way right off into hell. It's because it's their way and they won't listen when the Lord calls. And when the Lord's talking, amen, amen. And that's like children. Reason they grow so many brats nowadays is because that the parents won't break their will. You got to break their will. They've got, Every child has got a stubborn will. I don't care who they are. Now, some of them's more gentle than others. I understand that. It don't take as much on some of them as it does others. And some of them, you got to work on them out behind the shed a whole lot. And but after a while, you can get it conquered if you will. I mean, you can take care of the thing. God gave them to you for you to raise for Him. Amen. You're to raise them for Him. And if you can't raise them for Him, you raise them for the devil. And there's too many nowadays that's raising them for the devil. And you know as well as I do how it is. I mean, you can go into these stores and you listen to some of them brats going on the way they go on in some of these stores. Boy, and I'm telling you what, it just unnerves me. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, if she'd just let me take him outside for just a few minutes, you know, when I brought him back in, he wouldn't be going on like that. Amen? Just, well, I mean, I wouldn't beat him to death, just partly. Amen. And that's just the way it is. And kids needs it. when you grew up in my time period, back in my age, everybody got it. I mean, everybody got it then. Nowadays, as a lot of them don't even know what a whooping is. And it's a whooping where we come from. That's the way it's said. It's a whooping. And when you got one, you knowed you had one. Amen. And the schools even was that way then. I mean, you done something wrong at school. I mean, how they'd do us, they'd say, go in the library and wait on me. And they'd come in there and worry you out. Or sometimes they'd do it right in front of the class, which was even worse. You know, because everybody got to watch you get it. Amen. And we had one old boy up there, I won't mention who it was, in grammar school, and he got them all the time, just like me and some others did. But I'd just stand there and take mine, and he wouldn't be still, and she'd have a hold of him with one hand. And Grace probably knows what I'm talking about. And she'd start on him like that, and he'd go round and round, her round and round with him. Funniest thing you ever seen. Screaming going on, sometimes laying on the floor gigging. It was hilarious, man. Better than any picture there was. But he still got it. Amen. So I don't know how I got off on that. Where was I at? Okay. Compassion. The compassion that the Lord is showing here. And they wouldn't even want the compassion that the Lord was trying to show them. He's giving it to them. What's wrong with a lot of folks nowadays, even preachers, and I guess especially preachers, they don't have compassion. You need compassion. And sometimes the Lord will teach it to you. Amen? And you're going to have to go through something, and then you'll have compassion on somebody else when they're going through it. Amen? And the Lord Jesus Christ, He went through it. And He knew what compassion was. And He was trying to show it, and they wouldn't even take it. So that's what He's talking about here. Amen. All right. Flip back here to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll start at verse 21. Matthew 7. And verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, I don't know exactly when all this is going to take place, but there's going to be a day or a time period that some judgment is taking place here, and there's going to be some false prophets, and they're going to at least think in their own mind that they're saved, but they're going to find out here that they're not. Now, I liken this myself, and I might not have all this right, but I liken this to a lot of these characters today that's out for money. A lot of these big-name preachers. Now, I know some of them's saved, and some of them's doing right, and some of them's probably deceived, and some of them is just out for what they can make off of the old widow ladies and all that stuff. You know, they're just crooked. But it would be a sad thing to go through this life of thinking that you're saved and get to judgment and find out you're not. Now think about that a minute. That'd be a bad situation. But there's some people here that's going to be saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wondrous works in thy name? We've done this in your name, Lord. And they done it in his name. It's like some of these Catholic priests. It's sending all kind of folks to hell by using the name of the Lord. Oh, you shouldn't mention nothing like that. Yeah, I should mention something like that. That's what I'm supposed to mention. Because I just read you about these false prophets. And there's a lot of false prophets, but they're not all Catholic priests. A bunch of them, these characters like Benny Hinn and a bunch of them characters. And they're deceiving folks and sending folks to hell by false accusation, false believing things, you know, coming out with all this stuff, you know, that basically they're lying. And some of them guys, you know, may be sincere. Some of them just out for money, we know that. But some of them may be sincere, and they may sincerely be deceived. You say, well, how can the devil deceive somebody like that? He can. I've known people that's been in church for years and then finally get saved and thought they're saved for years. You can be deceived. Bible plainly talks about be not deceived. You can be deceived. And it'd be sad. But all you got to do is trust in the Lord yourself. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins and rose again. And trust in his shed blood and tell him, Lord, I'm trusting in your blood. And if that won't get me to heaven, then I ain't going to make it no way. And you're not going to make it if that won't do it. But that'll do it. I mean, you trust in that and you're going to make it. Amen. You trust in something else, you're not going to make it. I don't care what else it is. So there's some of these people here that's false prophets. And they're going to get cast into hell after living a certain type of life and proclaiming the Lord. Amen. Well, Bible talks about in there talking about some making folks too full the children of hell than themselves. So there's some got to be doing that. Amen. So it's going to be a sad time. Amen. This kind of mess is going to be. All right, let's go on back to Matthew chapter 25. Okay, let's go Matthew 25, and if I can get my page to turn here. Stick it together. Okay, let's go. Verse 41, Matthew 25, verse 41. Now, this is a judgment that is basically the judgment of the nations, but he's still going to be saying some very sad things. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, whoever he's talking to then, it's going to be a terrible thing to hear. Matthew 25:41. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for man. But a lot of humans is going there. And wouldn't that be a terrible thing to hear the Lord say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. You talk about a sad saying, standing there and hearing something like that, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. Depart from me. Terrible saying. Amen, amen. Now go to Revelation chapter 14. We'll wind up here. Revelation chapter 14. Let's start here at verse number 9. Now, this is dealing with over in tribulation time where they worship the beast or don't take the mark of the beast or this type of thing. But we're going to get a few verses here anyway because of what he says. Revelation 14:9, and the third angel sounded, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture unto the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Notice that. Forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night. It's going to be a terrible time, folks. The sad thing is, we're going to know some people there. That's what's bad on us. We need to tell them about the Lord. And like I say, there may not be anybody sitting here today that's lost, and I hope there's not. I hope everybody here is saved, ready to meet the Lord. But if you're not, you better get it took care of. Because you don't know when your end's coming. Something can happen just real fast like this, and you're just gone. Just that fast. Amen? So you just never know, folks. You don't never know. I'll mention this before we close. It happened to me twice this week. My sugar fell one morning to 25. They had called paramedics out to bring me back. The next morning it fell to 22. Had to call them out again. They brought me back. Paramedic told me, said, feller, said, most people, when it falls down in the 20s, we don't bring them back. See how fast that was? All I was doing was sleeping and resting of a night. I thought everything was going okay. I just laying there sleeping. You can go fast, and you're gone. Amen. Lord, this wasn't done with me yet, or I'd done been in glory. I'd enjoy a whole lot better, but that's beside the point. I don't want to leave you folks or my family until the Lord says, I'm done. One thing about it, when it does happen to me, I'm not going to hear these words. I'm going to hear them, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. I don't know how good or faithful I'll be, but I'll still get to enter in. Amen. So how about you? You know for sure that you're going to glory when you die? You know that for certain? If you don't, you need to get it took care of while we get a song.